Hello, this is Tom Scott with the news from Ford County for the week of June 14, 2020. We'll begin, as we have been doing, with the latest updates from the local public health departments. First, from the Ford County Public Health Department, and this was released on June 15th at 3 p.m. Ford County Public Health Department is announcing no new confirmed cases today. Ford County has a total of 23 confirmed cases. There has been one COVID-19-related death. These numbers are accurate as of the release time. Public health officials continue to investigate and contact all individuals who may have had exposure to individuals that tested positive for COVID-19. Federal privacy restrictions prohibit the release of any further information. And from the Iroquois County Public Health Department, as of June 17, 2020, Iroquois County has 142 individuals with laboratory-confirmed cases of COVID-19. The Iroquois County Public Health Department has not received any additional positive tests for COVID-19 today. Of the 1,991 test results for COVID-19 received, 1,849 have been negative and 142 have been positive. Of the 142 individuals with laboratory-confirmed cases, 116 have recovered and have been released from isolation. 2 are hospitalized, 19 remain isolated at home, and 5 have passed away. We extend our prayers and deepest condolences to the family, friends, and community members affected by those losses. The Iroquois County Public Health Department is reporting congregate data regarding COVID-19. In an effort to clarify this data, we would like to provide a brief explanation. A confirmed case is an individual residing in Iroquois County who has a positive laboratory confirmation of COVID-19. The total confirmed case numbers we report includes all individuals who have tested positive, regardless of their current status. That number will never decrease. Recovered cases are individuals who tested positive and after a period of 10 days are afebrile, fever-free without fever-reducing medication, for at least 72 hours, and respiratory systems have improved. Those recovered cases are then released from isolation by the health department. Now the news in the Ford County Record. Gibson City man killed in McLean County crash. Colfax. The McLean County coroner has identified a Gibson City man as the victim of a single vehicle crash in eastern McLean County early Wednesday morning. Coroner Kathy Yoder said Caleb M. Roberts, 28, died from multiple blunt force injuries he received when a sport utility vehicle he was driving crashed on County Road 3400 East near 1800 North, about a mile south of Colfax. Mr. Roberts was alone in the vehicle. The McLean County Sheriff's Office and Yoder are investigating the accident. Mr. Roberts was pronounced dead at 4:45 a.m. Wednesday. From the front page of the Record this week, Paxton 4th of July activities canceled. City Council approves funds to replace equipment lost in fire. The recent destruction by fire of the shed of the Paxton Police Public Works site destroyed quite a few pieces of equipment. Many will not generate much insurance reimbursement, but some items, like a stump grinder, a 1995 two-ton truck, a snow fence, and 2 bucket trucks, had worth beyond their value. The City Council authorized Director Mark LeClaire and Mayor Bill Ingold to spend up to $35,000 on replacing equipment needed before next month's meeting, including a mister for mosquitoes estimated to cost between $10,000 to $13,000. But some brand new materials were lost as well. LeClaire said the piping and cover for the yet-to-be-constructed new salt bin were also destroyed in the fire. The state fire marshals ruled out arson as a cause of the fire and said the cause couldn't be determined. Police Chief Coy Cornett said his review of video footage from the night of the fire revealed no one near the building. Though he did not appear at the meeting, the council discussed the email proposal by Tiger McClure to hold a march in support of Black Lives Matter. While several aldermen questioned the city liability if too many people gathered in light of COVID-19 recommendations, and possible liability for the city if the event takes place on city streets. City Attorney Mark Miller said political speech had important protections. It will be a big mistake to get in the way of this, said Alderman Mike Wilson. Cornett said that he was at a recent event such as this in Gibson City, and that ran as smooth as heck. All these other small towns have held these, Monticello, Mahomet, Tuscola, with no problems. Ingalls said he would like more clarification from McClure. And in an announcement that was a surprise to no one, Ingalls said no city-sponsored July 4th fireworks nor daytime celebration in city-owned Pell's Park will be held this year. The city usually budgets about $7,500 for the fireworks, and private donations match that amount. Ingalls said that it might be difficult to raise that money this year. In addition, racks and tubes for launching fireworks were destroyed in the shed fire. And the city's insurance carrier said that the city would be exposed to liability at its park if the celebration goes ahead and the geographic region Paxson is in hasn't advanced to the necessary stage of the governor's opening plan that allows for large groups of people. The council also voted to rename its disaster response agency to Paxson Emergency Response from Emergency Management Agency. Director Ed Hansen said the change to ERS, to EMA, was made 3 years ago, but he realizes there is no need for a city EMA since the county already has one, and to which Paxson can apply for help in a case of an emergency. Hansen said the city was 5 years away from being a fully accredited EMA, and that working toward that was a costly process, including holding a full-fledged disaster simulation. Also, Ingold announced that Paxson is in line to receive $50,000 each year for the next 3 years through the State Department of Transportation Build Illinois program. The city engineer is researching how that money must be spent. Also, Alderman Dean Gykin and Jonas Hidebeki agreed to take on the responsibility of the city's Facebook page and try to increase its visibility. The council did not take up the issue of allowing chickens in town. No one has come forward toward the council asking for permission. Alderman Susan Satterley mentioned that a resident in her ward has been feeding raccoons in the garage. Satterley said she will take the matter up with the health department, and a license, permit, zoning, and insurance committee has a meeting has been set for July 14th at 6:30 p.m., preceding next month's regular council meeting. Also in the record, IGA presents donation to First Lutheran Church. IGA recently donated $1,000 to the First Lutheran Church. IGA made the donation to the church through the store's charitable rebate program, which provides $1,000 to a nonprofit organization in return for the organization collecting $200,000 in IGA receipts. This represents the 47th organization that has qualified for a $1,000 check since the program started in September of 2009. Again from the record, Illinois State Police announced results of special traffic enforcement patrols. Ashcombe. Illinois State Police District Command 21 Commander Captain Don Aaron Hersey announces the results of the special traffic enforcement patrols in Kankakee, Iroquois, and Ford counties on June 16. These special traffic enforcement patrols, or STEPs, allowed the ISP to provide increased enforcement for impaired driving, occupant restraint, ticketing, and distracted driving violations during the national Click It or Ticket campaign. The results are as follows. Occupant restraint violations, 1. Driving under the influence and drug alcohol-related citations, none. Speeding citations and warnings, 32. Distracted driving citations and warnings, 1. Total citations, 28. Total written warnings, 15. Driving the posted speed limit, sober, not distracted, and buckled up will save your life and the lives of many others. This project is funded through the Illinois Department of Transportation. Now from the Ford County Chronicle, Protype Printing donates $5,000 to Chamber Program. Paxson. Protype Printing in Paxson donated $5,000 to the Paxson Chamber of Commerce's Eat, Drink, Shop, Local gift card program. With everything going on in our world right now, we felt an overwhelming need to do something to help, to do some good. And we felt there is no better place to start than at home by helping our neighbors, said Robin Newald, owner of Pro-Type Printing Incorporated. Now from Gibson City, Moyer District Library Building reopens. Gibson City. The hours of service at the Moyer District Library have been announced for the month of June. The library will be open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays. In order to follow Illinois guidelines, the library will be able to serve 5 patrons at a time in the building. Normal hours begin next month. Beginning July 1st, Moyer District Library will be open from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday, and 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. The Summer Reading Program. Sign-ups for the Summer Reading Program continued through June 15. The virtual program will run from the last week of June through the first week of August. If desired, students can complete a form to help staff fill their order for a personal book bundle to be picked up at curbside. Reading minutes will be logged online, and there will be a craft pickup day each week as well. The Moyer District Library stated that it is sad to announce that the trip we are hoping to reschedule has been permanently canceled. If you had planned and paid to tour the Holocaust Museum in Skokie with us, repayment will be sent to you in the mail in the next 2 weeks. Interested participants can call and arrange for pickup during business hours for curbside pickup. Families may check out a maximum of 10 books for adults and 20 books for children. Project Read is online. Reading, ESL, and math tutoring is now available online for free. Project Read provides tutoring to adult learners who seek to improve their basic reading, writing, math, and English skills. Go to Parkland website, Project Read, to sign up and become an adult learner or to train to be a volunteer tutor. Ink and toner cartridges. The library still recycles printer cartridges. Drop them off during business hours. Please do not place them in the book drop. And the Jumpstart program. Parents can sign up for a virtual development screening through Easter Seals Jumpstart. Virtual screenings will be held on Thursday, June 18th. Your child will be assessed with the Jumpstart home visitor online over Zoom. And the library's Facebook page and our website is where one can find updates and resources. New books available: Last Girl Standing by Lisa Jackson, On Ocean Boulevard by Mary Alice Monroe, This Is How I Lied by Heather Gudenkoff, Waterkeeper by Charles Martin, 28 Summers by Aaron Hildebrand, Book of Longings by Sumang Kidd, and Betrothed by Kira Cass. In new DVDs, Robert the Bruce, Think Like a Dog, Impractical Jokers the Movie, and Legos DC, Shazam, Magic and Monsters. From the Ford County Treasurer, tax bills for Ford County delayed. Ford County Treasurer Krisha Shoemaker released the following statement. Ford County 2019 payable 2020 tax bills are delayed coming into the Treasurer's office. Treasurer Krisha Shoemaker hopes that she will receive the tax file from the county clerk by the end of July or early August. Once the tax file is received in the Treasurer's office, the bill should be sent to the printer within a week. The first installment will be due 30 days after the tax bills are mailed. Installment dates will be announced once the tax file has been received in the Treasurer's office. Please contact the following offices with further questions regarding payment options, duplicate tax bills, the sealed bill auction. Contact the County Treasurer at 217-379-9465. For property exemptions and reductions, you'll need for name and address changes. For assessed value, contact the Supervisor of Assessments at 217-379-9430. For tax rates and levies, drainage amounts, back taxes, contact the County Clerk at 217-379-9400. If you wish to contact the County Treasurer, it's Krisha Shoemaker, 200 West State, Room 102, P.O. Box 92, Paxton. The telephone is 217-379-9465 or by email treasurer@fordcounty.illinois.gov. And now in sports news from the Ford County Record, Schmidt to continue volleyball career at Beloit. Abby Schmidt, a 2020 graduate of Paxton Buckley Loda High School, recently signed a commitment letter to continue her volleyball career at Beloit College. Schmidt started playing volleyball in the second grade and never looked back. "I've been doing that for a really long time," she said. Her volleyball career wasn't just limited to playing for her school either. "I've been year-round since eighth grade, with like maybe 2 weeks off each year," she said. Indeed, the nationwide sports shutdown caused by the COVID-19 pandemic has caused Schmidt's longest absence from the sport in some time. "This COVID thing with the long break has been interesting," she said. Asked what she loved most about playing volleyball, Schmidt pointed to the joy of being part of a team. "I love the camaraderie and the friendships you make from it," she said. Schmidt also appreciates the thrill of competition. "It's so competitive and the energy is so high all the time," she said. "I love this sport so much." While she's primarily played as a setter, Schmidt said she's played every position in the court during her volleyball career. "Primarily, I've been a setter since I started playing, but I've been an on-and-off defensive specialist if they need me to pass," she said. "I've played every position, but mostly it's been setter or DS." This versatility and willingness to play where needed is what stood out about Schmidt for PBL volleyball coach Lindsay Stolloway. "Abby is one of the most versatile players we've had come through the PBL volleyball program in the past 6 years," she said. "She could do a little bit of everything." Stolly recalls bringing Schmidt up to play on the varsity team in her sophomore year and how, during the annual discussions with varsity players about where Stolly saw them fitting in and their playing time, Schmidt was willing to play any position on the floor. "The very first thing she said to me was, 'Coach, I don't care where you put me. I just want to play,' she said. You don't hear that very often from kids." Oftentimes, Stolloway said players come in with a position in mind that they want to play right off the bat, and they can be upset if that position is changed. But Schmidt was willing to put the needs of the team ahead of herself. "Just by her saying that, I knew she was going to be a special player," Stolloway said. Stolloway isn't surprised she's going on to play at the next level. "It's no surprise to me that she's going to play volleyball at the next level," she said. "I know that she will go on and do great things." The friendships she's made as a result of playing volleyball and the victories they've won together are what stick out in Schmidt's mind when asked to reflect on her career. "High school volleyball's been really, really fun," she said. "All of the friendships I've made for it, like the girls who have graduated in the past, I came up with them. Conference champs this last year as a senior was pretty awesome." Another recent milestone Schmidt is proud of is winning a tournament in St. Louis with the Primetime Volleyball Club in Champaign. Smith said they traveled to St. Louis for the big President's Day tournament in February and faced a large pool of competitors, but came out on top. "We ended up winning the whole thing out of like 75 other teams," she said. "It was really cool." Asked why she chose Beloit College to continue her playing career, Schmidt said the school met all her needs and she's looking forward to playing for them. "The school is fantastic. It's going to set me up for anything I want to do in the future. And the coach is amazing," she said. Schmidt said she's planning on majoring in biology in Beloit. Looking back on her high school career, Schmidt said she's loved her time at PBL and the opportunity she's had to learn from her coach. "I really loved my time playing at PBL," she said. "I love Coach Stolloway so much. She's done so much for me as a player." Schmidt said the same was true of her Primetime Volleyball's club coach. "They've grown me so much as a person and as a player," she said. In other news of PBL graduates, PBL graduate earns Illinois Sheriff's Association scholarship. Kristen Jensen is this year's recipient of a $500 Illinois Sheriff's Association scholarship given out by the Ford County Sheriff's Office. Jensen is a 2020 graduate of Paxton Buckley Loda High School and plans to attend the University of Illinois this fall, where she will major in English. Now we'll turn to the Ford County obituaries for the week of June 14th. Gary Lee Steinman. Gary Lee Steinman went to be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on May 29, 2020. services will be held at Levine Baptist Church in Levine, Arizona. Lois Jean Carlock. Rankin. Lois Jean Carlock, 93 of Rankin, passed away at 2:10 p.m. Friday, June 12, 2020, at her home, surrounded by family. Graveside services were held Monday, June 15, at Rankin Union Cemetery, with Pastor Molly Spence Hawk officiating. Memorials may be made to the Rankin United Methodist Church or the Rankin Lions Club. Alan A. Peterson, Crescent City. Alan A. Peterson, 75, of Crescent City, passed away on Friday, June 12, 2020, at the Gilman Healthcare Center. Private services were held at the Knapp Funeral Home in Watseka, with Father Michael Powell officiating. Burial will be held at a later date at St. John the Baptist Catholic Cemetery in Larrabe. Memorials may be made to the donor's choice. Mary Josephine Joe Nettleton, Gibson City. Mary Josephine Joe Nettleton, 87, of Gibson City, peacefully passed away at 9:15 a.m. Saturday, June 13, 2020, at the Gibson Area Hospital Annex in Gibson City. Private funeral services will be held at the Gibson City United Methodist Church, with Pastor John Tennyson officiating. Burial will be in Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorial contributions may be made to the Gibson City United Methodist Church or to the Gibson Area Hospital. Ilo Mae McElderney, Bales Lake. Ilo Mae McElderney, 89, of Bales Lake in Loda, formerly of Chicago Heights, passed away at 2:12 p.m. Monday, June 15, 2020, at Accolade of Paxton Senior Living. A celebration of life will be held at a later date. Memorials may be made to the South Suburban Humane Society, 1103 West End Avenue, Chicago Heights, Illinois, 60411. Thomas Lee Salyers, Kankakee. Thomas Lee Salyers, 59, of Kankakee, passed away on Tuesday, June 16, 2020, at Hamida Healthcare in Health of St. Mary's Hospital in Kankakee. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, June 20th, at St. Anne Catholic Cemetery. Funeral service will follow the visitation at noon at the graveside. Stanley D. Curry, Piper City. Stanley D. Curry, 70, of Piper City, passed away on Friday, June 12, 2020. Services will not be held at this time due to COVID-19 concerns. Robert Hewitt, Kankakee. Robert Hewitt, 92, died June 14, 2020, in Kankakee. No information regarding services is provided. Now we'll turn to the opinion page in the Ford County Chronicle with a column by Jim Nolan entitled "Us Versus Them Syndrome on Display in Conflict Over Police Race in America." For many years, Jim Nolan was a senior fellow and political science professor at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. He has worked for three unindicted governors and published a weekly newspaper in Central Illinois. In his illuminating 800-page book, Behave, Stanford neuroscientist Robert Sapolsky describes how the brain shapes our actions, sometimes based on hardwired us versus them propositions. For example, the recent awful kerfuffle around police actions and sometimes violent protest reactions illustrate all too graphically just how hard, nigh impossible it is to shake the sense that there are two kinds of people in the world, us, the good, and them, likely bad. Alas, most of us are captive of this incredibly strong us versus them syndrome, which developed in our brains in cave-dwelling times when this now toxic behavior made eminently good sense in a really dangerous world. Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts epitomized the syndrome recently in a conversation with Black community leaders when he referred to them instinctively as "you people." This is the first of two columns on this topic. Column next week is the tough one. What do we do about our present plight? Sapolsky devotes only 40 pages solely to the topic of us versus them. He reports that our brains are irrepressibly hardwired to unconsciously break down the world around us into whites versus blacks, rich versus poor, urban versus rural, elites versus rednecks, Cubs versus Cardinal fans, etc. This action in our limbic system, that is the emotional part of the brain, apparently helped humans eons ago to simplify and understand the world around us. Even babies begin to distinguish between us and them, separating the world around them by things such as skin color. By the way, according to Sapolsky, a MacArthur Foundation Genius Award winner, skin color evokes the strongest us versus them reactions, which can spur racism, of course. However, even baseball fans will, according to psychological experiments, be more helpful to a distressed fan who is wearing their team's colors over someone sporting those of a reviled opponent. Up front, our prefrontal cortex, the thinking part of the human brain, developed long after the rest of the noggin. This PFC tries to override the us versus them wiring, but with uneven and limited success. The question is, what can be done to reduce the us versus theming, and to improve the lot of African Americans and other groups that appear to suffer from it? According to Sapolsky, about the only mental state of mind that can reduce the us versus them conflict lies in us for calls for us to individuate. That is, evaluate each person as an individual, apart from any general notions we might harbor about groups of them. Unfortunately, I fear, and I think Sapolsky would agree, such self-discipline will take generations, if ever, to override completely the us versus them syndrome. So, for the present, we are left with the challenge of figuring out how we can help make life better for those thems who may have less than us. The conventional response, beginning largely with the 200 programs of the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson in the 1960s, has been basically to 1. Increase access to educational opportunities for minority groups, and 2. Soften inequality by spending more on social support programs. LBJ's programs have brought some minorities into the middle class who might not have made it otherwise. I worry, however, that the panoply of Great Society's social service programs may have seduced those in difficult straits to take the easy path out rather than strive to achieve. Debate continues to rage over observations like this. I contend as well that these programs have contributed to the decline of the nuclear family, which has contributed to the growth of negative subcultures both in isolated urban neighborhoods and in white rural America, where single motherhood and absent fatherhood has mushroomed. Social workers I talk with in rural Illinois lament that many single mothers, and often grandmothers as well, have, for whatever reason, lost their skill and capacity to rear their children effectively. Is there anything to the above? What can be done to turn these subcultures around? Next week, I tackle this challenge. My lead-in will be somewhat as follows. After the centuries of us versus theming in America, reflected in a history of slavery, Jim Crow laws, unimpeded, even casual lynchings, denial of the vote, and barriers to good jobs and higher education, why in the world should minorities now think that majority whites, even if they could, will resolve their problems for them? The brain ain't wired to do that. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the news from Ford County. Just a reminder that this and all our weekly readings are available on our website. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.